Good morning, everyone. How are you? So, you ever have a moment like that? Ever have a mirror moment? I just blew it for all the men in the room. Ladies, that is the reason why we're in there so long. I had one of those moments this morning while I was shaving. I was like, I actually get to go preach the Word of God today. I get to stand on stage in front of other people and tell them about the God who has saved my life. I was like excited. I was really excited. Actually, I was blown away by it. I've been blown away by a lot lately. Like a couple weeks ago, I was blown away by that lottery. Now, I'm not going to ask how many people play because I don't want to get you in trouble. But I'm just going to tell you that $640 million is a lot of money. And I started thinking to myself, man, if I had that money, what would I even do with it? And I started to think, well, the first thing I'd do is I would pay off everything I owe. I would pay off everything everyone I know owes. But there would be nothing owed for nothing. We'd be good. My family would be set. I would pay off everything. And then I would take some money, and I would buy myself a four-wheel drive truck. Now, I grew up in a land of, like, some for real four-wheel drive truck. My grandmother actually drives a four-wheel drive truck. So I'm not talking about, like, a Jeep Cherokee or Durango or something like that. I'm talking about Bigfoot. I'm talking about, like, serious 40-inch tires, having to get a ladder to climb up there. Like, all blacked out, making crazy loud noises. That's the kind of truck I want. Well, I can drive over cars, houses, things like that. Just a mean truck. I'm saying I would buy it. It would have a tilt bed. It would have air conditioning, of course. All the things that are perfect. All the bells and whistles. I would buy everything on it. And it'd be amazing. Big KC lights. Because I'd have the money. Now, some of you are sitting out there thinking, well, I wouldn't buy that. That'd get terrible gas mileage. With $640 million, I'm buying the gas station. I'll be fine. I'll be good. And I started to think, how many times in our lives is what we want financially the same thing that we want spiritually? See, we want our past to be forgiven. We want all our debts to not have to be worried about. We don't want to worry about them. We want them to be paid for. And we want our future to be good. We want it to be good. We want it to be filled with good stuff. I mean, even my non-Christian friends want a good future. They want new. And I started thinking, how do we even get to new? What does new even mean? And I looked in a place where I find the answers when I need the answers. And I opened the Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. That's where we're going. If you've got your Bible and you want to head there, I might be a little bit all over the place. If you haven't noticed, sometimes I do that. But I'll be spending some time in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If you don't have your Bible with you today, I'm not putting anything on the screen for two reasons. One, there are two things I want you to focus on today. Christ, well, actually, there's only one thing, Christ. So just listen as I read the scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he had committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. I want to read that part again. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. This week I took a Facebook poll. If you've never seen me on Facebook, you're probably hiding somewhere. You don't have one. I took a Facebook poll and I asked, what's the first thing you see? What'd you think this morning when you looked in the mirror? And man, I got some crazy answers. I got several that you all never saw because they were from my friends in the Marine Corps. You probably didn't want to see them. I had to pray for them immediately. But I got some funny answers too. I got, oh, well, you know, I need a haircut, or I slept with my eye makeup on, or who's this guy? Who's this chunky monkey? I got all these funny things. I got some great things. I got some, I'm excited. I'm like, I'm saved. I'm resurrected. I'm ready for the day. Whatever God brings me is a new challenge. I can't wait. Today's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. And I got some not so good answers. I got some people who said they felt beaten. Like, they just lost. They've been beaten. They don't know why, but when they look in the mirror, the person they see is beaten. Some people said they feel exhausted. When's my time to rest? When do I get to slow down? When do I get a break? Some said they just felt lost. They looked at an empty person. They felt lost. Like they didn't know what to think. Some felt frustrated because every time they do something, it turns out bad. Like every time they think they're getting ahead, they get dragged back. Every time they're doing exactly what they know they're supposed to be doing, it's the wrong thing. And they were frustrated. One person said, I feel shame. When I look in the mirror, I feel shame. That's tough. That hurts. Shame. One person said, disrespected. I always look at myself and feel disrespected. Like I'm owed more than I have. Like I should be in a better place. One person said, I feel confused. I look in the mirror and I don't know what I'm supposed to think. I just stand there wondering, who is this person? One person said, I wish I knew how to be different. I wish there was some way for me to change this person I hate that I see when I look in the mirror. And there's good news today. There's good news in this service today. And that good news is that Jesus, he didn't come to clean you up. He didn't come to put a Band-Aid on you, to fix your habits that are messed up. He didn't come to get you to church. But he came to make you new. So that you would become a new creation. Not the same old form of broken that you've been before. And see, we look in the mirror and we don't like what we see and we make some grave mistakes. We do some things to try to fix what we see that are all off balance. They're all wrong. We miss the mark. One of those things we do is we try to man up. We try to just say, well, it's just who I am. Jay, I just came from a bad spot. My life's just been tough. Nobody loved me as a kid. My father never hugged me, and my mother never stopped kicking me. You don't know how hard my life is. It's just the way I am. I heard a testimony from Elaine Wallace last week talking about just the way she was. She could have used that excuse, but she didn't. If you weren't here to hear that testimony, seek her out and find out about it. But that's the excuse that we use. We say, it's just the way I am. I'm learning as I get older that everything has side effects. You see me up here and I'm a little fluffy. That's a side effect of the fact that I like food. So sometimes I have a hard time putting it down and it's made me fluffy. It's a side effect. It's okay. But I've noticed that the older I get, the more I notice these side effects that happen in life. We were going out to Illinois to visit my parents, and it was a time where I was feeling extremely fluffy in life, so I was taking these diet pills. So I get up in the morning. This is not my recent trip. So I got up in the morning, and I took these diet pills, and I was like, okay, these diet pills promise to make me new, make me feel better, make me lose weight. I'm going to be amazing today. I'm going to be alert and faster than lightning. Okay. So I go out. I feel good. I go to the gas station, I pump gas, feeling okay, but I'm not feeling great. So I think maybe I should boost the effects of the diet pill with Go-Go Juice Maximum Energy Drink. So I grab that, and I chug it down. It's a little thing. Lasts for 1,200 hours. So I chug it down. I'm like, okay, I'll be feeling good to drive now. I'll be feeling great to drive now. But then I thought, well, what does every road trip need? Coffee, right? You got to have coffee. How many people in here like coffee? Praise God, Juan Valdez was a Christian. There will be coffee in heaven, all right? So I get my coffee. I chug it down. I get back to the hotel, and I'm freaking out. I'm like a five-year-old on pixie sticks right now. I'm like, what? Get a car. Let's go. And my wife's like, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. What's wrong with you? I'm like, now that maybe I'm perfect, I'm good. It's all good. She's like, will you sit down and have breakfast with us? So I sit down to have breakfast, and immediately my fingers went from sausage to really big sausage fingers. And I look down, and I'm like, why are my hands all red and swollen? And my throat felt like it was closing, and I started chugging water. I'm like, what's wrong with me? And my face started to get red, like red, like Christmas tree light red. Like I was glowing. And I started to think to myself, I'm about to die. So I did what every grown man does when he's about to die. I called my mother. And I said, Mom, I'm about to die. That doesn't go well when you're traveling from Pennsylvania to Illinois. My mom's a pretty calm person, though. She's used to me. So she goes, what are you talking about? I said, I'm about to die. I'm at the Holiday Inn in Indiana, and I'm going to die. She's like, what are you talking about? So I tell her about my cocktail that I made up in the morning of diet pills, energy drinks, and coffee. And she says, are you nuts? I said, well, that's debatable. She said, that's like 80 times the amount of caffeine you're supposed to take in a day. You're having an allergic reaction. That is a side effect of too much caffeine. And I was freaking out. So she told me I had to drink like 1 million gallons of water, take some Benadryl, and try not to panic. And as I thought about that story, I thought about how our bodies have all these side effects, and that sin is one of those side effects. Sin brings on its own side effects, actually. I'm going to share with you a little bit of wisdom. The beauty of Emmanuel Church is that you can come here, and if you're seeking other knowledge, we teach you other things too. Mark will talk to you about philosophers and deep book studies and things like that. I'll just tell you redneck tricks. That's why they brought me on staff. I grew up in the country, and I don't know if you guys have ever done this trick, but maybe you have. Do you know if you take a frog, I'm sorry, parents, if you take a frog and you put him in warm water, he won't move. He'll jump all around before that, but when you sit him in warm water, he won't move. And you can gradually increase the temperature of the water, and the frog won't move. You can actually get the water all the way to boiling, and the frog will never move. How many of us are like frogs when it comes to sin? How many of you are sitting in your sin, and it's growing? And it's mounting, and you don't even realize it because you're just not paying attention to it. You've gotten so used to it that you don't move away from it. And you're getting up to boil. You're getting pretty close to death in your sin, and you don't even realize it. I'm going to tell you something that not a lot of preachers tell you. Sin is fun. If it wasn't fun, I wouldn't have to talk you out of it. Sin is fun. I heard a preacher one time say, children, sin is not fun. I said, dude, you must be doing it wrong. Because sin is fun. But the Bible is clear that sin is fun for a season. And the problem with sin is that it comes with consequence. And it comes with circumstance. And when sin and its fun are gone, you're left. Consequence. You're left with circumstances that you now have to figure out how you're going to handle them. You're left looking in the mirror at someone who's ridden with sin and going, why'd I do that? How did I get here? How did I go from there to here? In my short time pastoring, I've seen some sin grab hold of people. The number one thing I've seen ravage people in the Christian world is sexual sin. I've seen men and women in misery over decisions they've made. Absolute misery, feeling totally separated from God because of decisions they've made. And they allow that sin to come back over and over and kick them and beat them. And they're locked in it. And they feel shame over it. And they try to man up over it and say, well, it's just the way I am. It's just what I did. It's no big deal. It's just the way it is. I've seen addicts of all kinds in my short time as a pastor. Of all kinds. Drug addicts. People who are addicted to alcohol, pornography. People who are addicted to shopping. They don't have to be the big things. There's a lot of addictions in life that take hold of people. And I saw addictions ravage people where they thought they were good. Man, I went so many months. How many times have you sat with an addict and heard them say, I went years without touching it? And it came back. And I didn't even see it coming. Because that sin is a tough one. And we allow little pieces of it to stay around us. And when we feel it coming or we see it coming, we try to man up. Bitterness. Wow, I've met some bitter people. So upset. So angry. They say, Pastor, I hear you talk about forgiveness, and I can forgive everybody but this one person. I can forgive everyone but the person who did this to me. And they become bitter. And that bitterness rocks their world. It affects their relationship with other people. I've seen people have a real serious problem with secret sin. It's a sin they don't want anybody to know about. But you know they're struggling. You can see it on their face. You can see it in their life. They're wrecked and ravaged by a secret. A secret they won't share, because if they share that secret, well, then they're not as good as they try to act like they are. Or they won't share that secret because then you might know that they're a human being that struggles. We can't do that. We can't share that sin. Oh, no. We'll keep it a secret. And it's killing people. There are people out here right now thinking, Jay, I don't struggle from any of those things. I don't have a single problem with anything that you talked about. Maybe your sin is the next sin, which I put in all capital letters, because it's a sin that's serious. It's the sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven. Got an issue with your pride? It's the fast tag. It's the fast track to the front of the line for hell. Get your pride in check. It's a big one. And what happens when we see these sins in the mirror, when we look in the mirror and we see these sins and we start to man up and say, well, I can do this. It's just the way I am, so I can do this. It's just the way I am. It's not a big deal. Those are lies. That's a lie. That is not true. You cannot stand in the present looking at the past and expect to get to your future. You can't do it. And you don't have to. You can't do it, and you don't have to. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone who is in Christ. That's all these people that I just described. That's all the people who stand in the mirror and struggle. Anyone who's in Christ. That anyone is you. Your sin is not your identity. And if you're here today and you're in Christ, then you're not in that sin. You're in Christ. And if you're here today and you're not in Christ, I have some great news. You won't leave here that way if you decide not to. You don't have to leave here with that sin being your identity. Now, that doesn't mean there's not consequences. That doesn't mean you still won't have to deal with consequences. But it means that you'll leave here without the penalty of sin. And that's good news. That's exciting. Don't man up. Don't be a frog. Don't sit in your sin. Get in Christ. Today. The second thing we do is we try to clean ourselves up. We see something in the mirror we don't like. We say, well, I'll just clean this up. I know how to do that. I'll go to church. I'll go to church on Sunday, and I'll go to a Wednesday night supper, and I'll clean myself up, and I'll be fine. When I went in the military, I became a military police officer, and I had to go through this punishment training, pepper spray training. And I was standing in line waiting to be pepper sprayed, like five guys in front of me. And this gimongous dude, huge, tough guy, got sprayed in the face, fell on the ground, and started sucking his thumb and crying. He was weeping and screaming. I think he called out for his mother. And I was like, what a pansy. I will never be like that. That will not happen to me. I am way too tough for that. And as it gets closer and closer, I'm getting myself excited because I know how tough I am. I've proven to myself time and time again how tough I am. So the drill instructor's standing over there. He's waiting. He's like, come on, man. I'm like, come on, man. Give me that. Boom. Oh. And I fall on the ground. And I start sucking my thumb, and I called out for my mother. And immediately I flashed to this other man that was doing this. And I said, I can't be like him. So I scurry to my feet. And I take off running to where they have this water tub. And I'm like kicking people and pushing them out of the way. And they're like, let us help you. And I was like, no one needs to help me. I will clean myself up. I'm a man. So I got my face in the cool water and I cleaned myself off. And I finally got relief. Finally. So I started to boast a little because I cleaned myself up. I was a little proud of myself. I grab a towel, wash off, dry my hair all off. Go home. I'm bragging to everybody. Did you see how tough I was? They were like, dude, you're on the ground. I was like, that didn't even happen. That wasn't even me. That was somebody else. They were like, no, we're pretty sure it was you. And I was like, no, it didn't. It didn't happen. So I spent the whole day boasting about how great I was because I kicked the pepper spray challenge butt. So I went in. I get myself ready, hop in the shower, and immediately I'm on the floor sucking my thumb calling out to my mother because I decided to clean myself up. I grabbed a rag that was covered in foam pepper spray and washed my hair off with it. So when I got in the shower, all that foam pepper spray came right back into my face. And I was hurting because I tried to clean myself up with a filthy rag. And it's similar to what we do. It's similar to what we do when we don't like the man in the mirror. Similar to what we do. We try to clean ourselves up with filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6 says this, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind our sins sweep us away. I would get this if it said all our unrighteous acts are like filthy rags, but that's not what it says. It says all of our righteous acts. All of our, well, hey, I went to church today. Look at me. I sit in the third row. All of that stuff we do to make ourselves feel better, all the things that we dote about are filthy rags to God. Our righteous acts are filthy rags, much like the one I used to clean myself up with. There are people in church that need to hear this. You've been in church week after week. You've been in church a long time. Some of you have been in church since you were children, and now you've watched your children's children come through this church. And you need to listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, when he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Jesus is saying, not just because you call my name, it doesn't guarantee you anything. You just call my name. Jesus goes on to say, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform miracles? AKA, Lord, didn't I go to Bible study? Didn't I come on Sunday and try to stay awake the whole time? Lord, didn't I do what you asked? I prayed 3 times last week. Didn't I do for you, Lord? And Jesus said, then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Think about that. I never knew you. Why would that happen? What do we do in that case? What does that mean for us? How do we become right with the person in the mirror if our righteous acts are filthy rags? What do we do? How can we possibly gain what we want to gain? Most of us are restless, and we know something's not matched up. We know somewhere along the way something's not matched up. But the Bible says anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. You're that anyone today. How do you get there? Not by manning up. Not by cleaning up. But by giving up. You get there by surrendering your life, your heart to God, by repenting for your sin in humility. In the end, it's not about the diet pills or the quick fixes to life. There's only one fix. You have to go to the very heart of the problem. Ezekiel said when he was prophesying about a new covenant that he would give us a new heart and put a new spirit in us. That he would remove the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. Deep, radical heart change is what we're talking about. What would it take to make you a new person? For our sake, God made him who knew no sin, sin. Think about that. That was for you. And that he is Jesus. Something deeply costful had to happen. Jesus died on the cross. It was radical. It was radically horrific. The same hands that beat Jesus, he made. That breaks my heart when I think about that. But what happened was a wonderfully radical effect for you and I. We became new. We became a new creation. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's what you are today. You are the righteousness of God. How do you feel that way? How do you change the person in the mirror? By being in Christ. By getting in Christ. I was at a party one time, and at that party was Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. So I threw up a sign to my man, Dubs, gave him a little wave. I'm not sure he didn't see me. I think he might have saw me. I think he acknowledged me, but he didn't make a big deal out of it. But we were in the same space all day, me and George. We heard the same thing. We heard the same message that day. We heard the same people talking about the same thing. I was around him all day. But if I went today, hopped in my four-wheel drive truck, and drove down to Texas, they would shoot me. I don't know George like that. My association doesn't make a relationship. Let me put it this way. Tonight, if my baby girl has a bad dream and she comes running into my room screaming, Daddy, Daddy, I had a nightmare, she'll be okay. Because I'll be there for her. tonight, if you have a terrible nightmare and you come running in my room screaming, Jay, Jay, I might shoot you. Because we don't have the same relationship. I might not be as quick to know who you are and recognize you. Because our relationship gives her access to me. Your relationship with Christ gives you access to him. It's what makes it so you can be with him, in him, always. Not just when you feel like you need some help, but always. It's what makes you able to look in the mirror and see something different. It's what changes the perception of what you've been doing your whole life. Many of you know me, and you know that when I came to this church, I brought all my insecurities and all my struggles, all my lustful issues and all my addictions, and I brought them here. And when I looked in the mirror, that's what I saw. But then, I became in Christ. And in Christ, I don't see this anymore. This isn't me. This isn't what defines me. This is my history, not my identity. I am new in Christ, and you can be too. So whether you've been here for years or it's your first time here, you have an option today to be in Christ. Up here on the altars, you'll see a bunch of mirrors. Because I don't want you to see the same thing now that you saw when you got up this morning. I want you to see now the righteousness of God manifest on earth in you because of Christ. I beg you not to leave here seeing yourself anything other than a child of God. The righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Be in Christ. I'm going to open these altars up. Because some of you came here today feeling like you were your sin. Some of you, I have seen your Facebook posts. I have read your emails. I have seen your prayer cards. And I know you're crying out to get right with Christ. Don't wait another moment. In Christ is where your freedom is found. When you look in the mirror, the change you need to make is that of your life given to Christ. And that change will sustain you. So the altars are open. Whether you've been here 5 minutes or 50 years, you have an opportunity today. Maybe to do nothing more but to come and look at the glorious, magnificent, wonderful, beautiful God creation that you are. You are perfectly, wonderfully designed in Christ. So come forward. Spend some time in prayer, and then I'll dismiss us in prayer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting our sins against us. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Father, that is a sweet, sweet name. The righteous child of God. Lord, whatever's coming to this room today, outside of your desire for us, however we've walked in seeing ourselves, whatever change needs to be made, let that change be Christ. Let us not see broken, shallow, beaten, exhausted, worthless individuals. Let us see risen, righteous, faithful believers in Christ. Hearts and minds dedicated to kingdom birth on earth. Father, thank you for this day. I pray blessings on the people who have been here in your presence. Lord, you are good to us. You have made us new. You have offered us a do-over, not with a band-aid, but with a brand new identity, that of Jesus. Protect our families. Help us to model you in all we do. Lord, may everyone going from here today look into the mirror and see the righteous child of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.